I'm running out of topics that, you know, that are really, that are hands-on every day, which is good because this year is kind of winding down for this time. There's a lot of topics that we could do, but if you have topics that you'd like me to address in the future, what I did before this semester was, as people asked me, Silas, I would write them down. I just kept a little list. So it's worthwhile if you have some issues that come up, I write them down as we go along. Okay, well, so today we're going to talk about bone, building. Now, obviously people know that if you look at source number one of the prohibitions of building is, so the Mishnah says, Avos malachos, arbaim chasarachas, right? 39 malachos, 40 minus one. One of them is habone, building. Because obviously in order to build the Mishkan, one of the things you have to do is build the Mishkan. Okay, no problem. We can all understand that. No problem is, what is building? What's the definition of building? So the halacha, it turns out, defines building in a lot of different ways. Okay, so we're gonna look at the Rambam, Lulchai Adam. Obviously, a person, you know, if let's say, for example, I don't know, your crown molding fell off on Shabbos. So one would not be permitted to take a hammer and to bang it back into your house on Shabbos. Okay, we can all sort of take that for granted. But it gets a lot more complicated. Let's say I have an umbrella outside on Shabbos, and I want to raise the umbrella. And I want to know, can I raise the umbrella on my patio furniture on Shabbos or not?
No.
It's easy to say no, and the question is that true?
Well, it's like an umbrella. It's because it's like building a tent.
What?
Like a
roof? Yeah. Okay, so then could I take a blanket or hold it over my head?
If you can't fix, you might be able to do a blanket
because
it's a blanket.
I'm just saying, these are all interesting questions. So let's look at the Rambam. We're going to look at the Rambam. And then we're going to come on to something that might surprise you, but is very, very relevant on Shabbos. Says the Rambam, Habone kol shehu chayav. If you build at all, any amount of building, you're chayav. So let's say you take one brick and you just put one brick back into the wall. Right? Or, let me ask you this, have you ever had that the molding is coming out? Right? A little piece. So you just take your foot and you kick it back in. That never happened to you on Shabbos? Happens to me all the time. Right? On Shabbos? Kolsu, it's a very tricky one. Or, let's say you have a sliding door on a track. And it comes off all the time. Could you put it back on the track? Not so clear. Not so clear. Okay. Hamashve pnei hakarka babayis. So remember, they used to have dirt floors. So if you level the inside of the floor, the house floor. So don't you hispil tail? You push down a piece of earth. O mile gumor, you filled in a hole, o guy or a cavity. Hareza bone v'chaya. So you have to remember, back then, sweeping the floor on Shabbos was a serious issue. Because when you swept the floor, you were smoothing out and you were clearing in. So thankfully, we don't have these problems in our houses. Now, it is interesting to note, if you had a brick patio, right? So you should know, when they lay bricks on your outside, what do they do after they finish laying the bricks? They stamp them down? They sand in between. Right? That's the finishing of the project. That's the finishing of the building process. For shins, it was not so irrelevant if you have these kind of bricks. Okay? Echad nasan esha evan. One guy puts the stone. Echad nasan esha tit. Another guy puts the plaster, the mortar. And I'll say that tit. Chayav. The mortar guy is chayav. Let's skip to Yud Gimel. See where it says Yud Gimel 13? Ha'olusha ohel kavua. If one erects a permanent tent. Harezer toledet bone v'chayav. So therefore, nowadays, you could pitch a tent. They have these automatic tents, right? You could almost, you know, sneeze. You're in the Boy Scouts, right? You have one of these tents? You just throw it, or you have the real one, right? All right? You can't pitch a tent on Shabbos. Why? Even if you didn't do any digging or staking or anything like that, you built a temporary structure, and therefore, you are chayav. Okay? V'chayav. Ha'oseh klei adama. Person who fashions an earthenware utensil. Gon chavish, bitanur, konim, sheyisifu. Example, an oven or a jug before they are fired in the kiln. Hareza toledet bone v'chayev. So Elaine, no earthenware forming on Shabbos. Sorry, Karen, that's bone. That's building. So there's something, such a thing as binyan b'kelim. You did know that, right? Even without firing it. Skip down to your dalet. Your dalet. Not only is it building and constructing. Let's say Eddie decides, you know, I really want to put up that picture after Shabbos, but I'm not allowed to hang the picture. So I'll make a starter hole. Can you make a hole? Why not? What's wrong with making the hole?
You're not allowed to do something for Shabbos.
Weekday. What if I'm very hot? It's so hot. There's no windows. The windows don't open. So I want to punch a hole in the wall. Apparently somebody else has done that too. If you look, it's not funny, but okay. Can I do that? Now remember, there's an issue called soser, destroying. But that's only soser for the purpose of building, destroying for the purpose of building. Can I make a hole? Look at the Rambam. Ha'osei nekev kolshehu. Let's say I make a hole, any type of hole. The lul shel tarnagolim. I do it in the chicken coop. Why? Because they need the light, the porch. It's like I bang out a little hole in the coop for the chickens. Chayav mishum bone. That's chayav. You're obligated because of bone. So if you have something, let's say, now what was the roof of the chicken coop made of?
Wood or tin?
Okay, or?
Straw.
Straw. Would it matter? Would it matter what it was made of?
Well, if it was straw, you might have it. If you touch it, you might accidentally.
Right, we're talking about accidentally is accidental. We're talking about you did it intentionally. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. You know, we don't have chicken coops, but I'm going somewhere with this. Okay?
Oh, you didn't?
What? I don't have a chicken coop. I'm not in my back. In Oak Park, we don't. I don't know what you guys in Southfield.
Why don't we cover the roofs of our sukkahs?
Schach. Yeah. Oh, so are you allowed to add schach on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? Yeah. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. You can't touch it. Okay. Another thing which is interesting. Hamachsir delet shel bor v'shel dut sayasi. A person who returns a door of a well, a cistern, or a wing of a building to its place, chayav mishum bonem. You can't really put the door back on. You just have to leave it. Right. And people sometimes will do that. You know, the door will fall off the hinges or simple things. You would think that they're simple. If something breaks, rule of thumb, if something breaks, leave it. Even if it's simple, even if you think I don't need tools, even if you think, you know, I don't have to, if it's broken, let's say the handle of your cabinet came unscrewed. This happened the other week. My beloved relative, who I will not mention, was playing with one of the, you know, like on the drawers, right? So they all screw in. So he, of course, wants to see how far he could unscrew it. You know how far he got?
All the way,
right? So it's a bookshelf. You have to leave it. You can't touch it, right? And you certainly can't fix it, even if you could fix it by hand. Yes.
So if the door
comes off the track, yeah, and it's in danger, it's just hanging on by
one, you know, by one thing, and you're afraid that it might fall or it might hurt somebody, or can you remove it? Can you take it off?
It's a
sakana.
You're really afraid?
It's a heavy door
on Shabbos,
and my father opened up the door and was pulled out.
Yeah.
And it came off the track, and I was really afraid it
would
fall and hit somebody.
You have little kids?
What?
You have little kids there?
The loud one. No, my father.
He's an older man.
Yeah. I mean, or do you just have to let it,
I would say ideally you should leave it. If you really think it's a sakana, if it's really dangerous, you should ask him and Jew to do it for you, to remove it for you. Right? Yeah.
So what about building toys?
So building toys, we normally say those toys are, especially for younger children, the way to use them, they're not. There's no permanence to it. Remember, building is something permanent. So when you build your Legos, you're not building it for any permanent reason. You're going to build it and take it apart again. The one exception would be, I know people, they buy Legos nowadays. When I was a kid, you used to buy a zillion Legos, and you made whatever you made, and then you ripped it apart.
Right.
But now they sell them as special sets.
Right.
And I know people that once they...
They make it on display. It's on display.
Now, well, okay, since I've been a kid, okay, whatever. So some people will build a Lego set and then leave it forever. Like a model. Right, so you would not be permitted to build that on Shabbos, for sure, if your intention would be to leave it like that. Okay, the reason I mentioned the whole, I want to go to the whole thing, because there's a source. Turn to page number 2. Oh, wait, one second. Sorry, back to page number 1. Okay, this is the Chaye Adam. The Chaye Adam was, again, another Rishon who's a halachic sizer, very, very authoritative. Chaye Adam, Achron, sorry, right? Achron, not Rishon, right? Tell me in the middle. When is he? 1700s. Well, I stand corrected. I'm thinking. You don't think of the chinuch. I'm always confused with chayyadam and chinuch. Habona kosru bang binyan till eight. Oshel Levan. If you build anything, whether it's of wood or rocks, im mechubal akarka, if it's attached to the ground, vafilu lochi behavanim betit ubeshid. Even if you didn't plaster it, alashehiniach avanim zeh al gav zeh. Rather, you put the stones one on the other. Behiniach avra binehem. Right, so if you laid your patio on Shabbos, that's gona, that's prohibited. Don't do that. Fine. Gimel, ha'olcha nekev bekarka habayis sheyetu hamayim chaya mishum bona. What if you had a flat roof, right? Or we'll see in a sec. You had a flat roof, and the water was raining. You lived in Dallas, and it's pouring and pouring and pouring, and the water is gathering on your roof, and you realize that if you don't get that water off the roof, it's going to flood and it's going to ruin your, I don't know, whatever, laundry. Okay? They do the laundry on the roof. Because, okay? So what are you going to do? You say, you know what, I'll make a hole. And the hole will be a drainage hole. And all the water will drain out. No problem whatsoever. Says the Chaye Adam, Chayav. Chayav means that's a prohibition, midoraisa, to create a drainage hole so that the water will properly drain. You are chayav. Okay? That's creating a hole that is constructive. It's a constructive hole. Okay? Well, we're going to get there in a second. Okay. What did I get, a clip art? Microsoft Publisher. Oh, you like my clip art? Okay.
He literally meant a plunger.
Okay.
I was wondering if
that. Hold on, look at that. Yeah, actually there is. Tanya, this is a Gemara in Subos. Nachum Ish Galya Omer. Nachum Ish Galya says, Chinur She'alu Bo Kishkishin. Okay, let's say you have a gutter. Right? And you live on the second floor or whatever it is. You have an aliyah, a roof apartment or a roof area, and you have a gutter. But unfortunately, the gutter became stuffed up with kishkishin, with kind of straw or leaves or yeah. Can you ever heard of that? Can that happen? It's terrible. So he says, "Memachan biraglo bichina bishabis," in private. You can force them down with your foot on Shabbos. The eino choshesh. Don't worry about it. My taima. What's the reason? Metaken kila'achar yadhu. Right? It's metaken. You are fixing something kila'achar yad. Kila'achar yad means in an unusual manner. Ubemakom pseida lo gazur rabbanim. And in the case of loss. Meaning, what's going to happen if you don't drain that gutter? Think about your basement, right? Okay, just think about in your basement, the water, I have this in my basement that when it rains, it's a real problem. When it rains a lot, in between the bricks, I have to get this fixed, but the water comes out. All right, so that's happened a bunch of times. You get used to it, right? Yeah, you have to, I got to push it back in.
Put in a piece of cork.
Right. So, the water comes in, though. Imagine the water comes in. It's building up, building up. So you say, okay, no problem. At some point, I've got a drain in my basement. Uh-oh, drain is clogged. Now, if I don't get this thing unclogged, we're going to deal with insurance and serious problems.
Well,
can I unclog? Can I unclog that drain? So says the Gemara, if it's a makom seda, a case of loss, I can do it kila achar yad bitsina. This is in your basement. You can do it in an unusual way in your basement. Look at Rashi. Rashi kilachar yad. See the Rashi kilachar yad here. Al yidei shinui beraglo, and then with a shinui, an unusual way with your foot. Okay, and then so therefore, I mean, you try to push it down.
So what
is that? Shooting,
maybe you could put your head through the wall.
I mean, what about?
That's not a makom shedo. It's not a loss.
What about
also not kilachar yad?
What about this case right here?
Yeah.
You have water filling up on your roof.
Yeah.
Is that not going to cause loss if it starts coming through?
So,
the same idea. Is it not the same idea?
Well, no, we're talking about, what do you mean? I don't understand. Just, that's public. Air on roof dump is public.
It's public, but still.
Yeah, and okay. Also kalach or yad. So this one specific example was...
Well, you
was
stick your foot through your roof. I don't know.
What? And what was the Malcolm Seder? What was the case of great loss?
If your roof caves in, you have great loss.
I don't understand. I'm lost again.
Your case.
You have to have a flat working down.
Yes.
And then the whole roof, which has happened in molds and things, the whole roof has
well, caved in from too much water.
That's it. Your house, everything is gone, and people get hurt from the falling roof.
Right. So that's why they built gutters in. That's exactly why they built drainage. So now the drainage became clogged. That's exactly what we're talking about on the roof, or the bait. We're talking about the roof. He says.
To your case here.
Yeah, you mean for the chicken coop?
No. What was the case here? It was a roof that was full of water, no?
What? The karka habayit shiyei to hamayim, that the water will go out, yeah.
So why couldn't you do something to that if you could do something here?
I guess...
Correct.
Right. One is changing a permanent structure. The other one is clearing the gutter. So clearing a gutter, what you see though is... The Gemara from this point shows you that a clogged gutter is a problem. That if you have pipes that are clogged up, to unclog them would be similar, exactly like your point, would be similar to putting a hole in the roof. It's a hole in the roof, you're certainly not permitted at all, no way. Right? That's bone. So even the Bakum Seda, a case of loss, you're not allowed to violate an Issa D'Oraisa. But if there was a way to do it, like you're saying, well, would there be a way? There would be no way to put a hole in your roof. That would be midi rabbana, right? Even, you know, with your foot or whatever, it would still be... What? Why can't you climb a ladder on Shabbos?
I don't know.
Well, you climb a ladder during the rest of the week? Well, that's an interesting question. Okay. So where does this... So now look at the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Shinur... Hamekaleach mayim min hagag. Let's say I have a chinur, right? This gutter that's dropping water from the roof. So kashim ve'ashavim. So then there's shmutz up there that's blocking it up. Umeimav yotzim umepaskin begag begag v'dolfin labayis. Okay, now the water is spreading and it's going all over the house. Big problem. Mimachan beraglav bitchina. You're allowed to push it down with your foot, bitchina. Since it's the Roshinoi, she'ena osa ela biraglav, b'makom seda lo gazir rabbanan. So it's an isser di rabbanan, and it's a makom seda. So you have two combinations. One, it's loss, and two, it's only di rabbanan, because you're doing it with a shinoi. So in that case, the rabbanan did not prohibit it. Okay? Look at Mishnah Berurah, Mem Zayin, very interesting. Mem Zayin, Mimachan, Pirush, Mimachan means push it down. Dorshan, Umashpilan, Biraglav. You crush it, and you push it down with your foot. The Kasav Meiri, the Meiri writes, Parakabas in Shabbos, Til Hashiram, Heina, Behena, Asar, Afila, Biraglav. But let's say you wanted to pull the stuff out, right, to pull it out, that you couldn't do on Shabbos. Only the thing, only to push it down, that would be permitted, but not to pull it out.
Kicking it aside.
What?
We're about kicking it, like, you know, the drain is clogged. You're not going to be able to push it through, but you can sort of brush it aside.
No, it's in the pipe. It's in the pipe. So you're going to have to start, you know, scooping it out. Okay.
That's not going
to
get
it. You get a plunger. Well, now we come to the crux of the issue. What'd you say?
Plunger.
Use a plunger. Now, yes, Elaine?
Well, I'm saying for some drains, like in the basement, there's a grate.
Right.
And whatever's clogging it. Actually
you're definitely allowed to clear the grate because that's what's on the grate. The grate is there to stop the clog. To move the grate, we're going to, well...
Not move the grate, but...
To clear the area for opening in the grate. Yes, that's normal cleaning. They just want to clean the area. That you'd be permitted to do. We're talking about, though, here you have something stopping up the hole. So here's the real question, the crux of the issue. When you have a pipe that's clogged up, is unclogging the pipe fixing it or cleaning it?
Cleaning it.
What's the definition of repair? What does it mean to rip?
Broken.
I can't see. What? What's the definition of broken? Okay. Broken means? It's not physically able to do its job.
That's not by
so you're saying the only broad definition...
Of course, that's by something that's inherently wrong.
The only way to fix a pipe would be if the pipe burst. Right. To replace that pipe would be fixing.
Right.
Okay? Why? Not so simple, right? So is it cleaning... Or is it fixing? Larry proved to me that clearing out a clogged drain could be considered, or should be in some cases considered, fixing. Prove it to me. Yeah, prove it to me. How do you prove it to me? Because very often you will call a professional to come and do it for you. And you will never be able to do it yourself without that professional doing it for you, without using professional tools.
There are times you call professionals to clean. They're not fixing
anything. To clean what?
The house. You know, just because you call it...
When you talk about, is something, very generally we'll talk about, is something considered fixing or not? So you say, well, do you need a professional to do it? Right? Let's say fixing something. Or, for example, I'll give you another example. On Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do fixing things that would be considered Maisa Uman. Right, that you would need a professional to do for you. So the difference between whether it's fixing or not would be, can a simple person do that, or do you need an uman? Do you need a professional to do it? What?
A professional could be relative.
It's relative.
I can do somebody else. So
no, you're a professional, sorry. You are a professional.
Then for myself, if I could...
No. And it's an objective individual. You are a professional. Sorry.
But it is,
I'm not sorry, you are a professional. You're paid to do these things. I don't know about plumbing. So somebody asked Rav Moshe Feinstein this question. Okay? And Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, Kishenistam ha-kiyor b'Shabbos. What's a kiyor?
Sink.
Right? See, like that? If the sink got clogged on Shabbos, im mutar lakachas kipat si'iva. What is si'iva? So Ev Mayim is a water drawer, right? A kippa of drawing, right? You can imagine.
A kippa.
Plunger.
Plunger.
Ulana kosun to clean it. Nira le anias daiti says, I think the imu davar hamatsui, if it's davar hamatsui. Davar hamatsui means something found. I'm leaving that term vague, mostly because I'm not sure what he means. Okay? If it's something normal, ein ze inyan kilkul b'tikun, b'yesh l'hatir gam b'kipat shi'iva. Okay? Then that's not fixing something or breaking, and then I'll let you use your plunger. D'ha meyuchad l'kach, because it is meyuchad l'kach, it is made for this reason, d'ha beze rak k'hadachat kelim l'sar Shabbos. It's like washing dishes for Shabbos. But if it is not something that is found, something that is normal, then I would think that that is a little bit of fixing. Even if you don't need to call a professional. Therefore, then with a plunger, it would be prohibited. Even if it didn't become totally stopped up. Shiyotim ha'mayim ma'at ma'at, and then the water goes down a little bit. Shayenim yuchad shuv l'shabbos, v'gam yesh l'hachik l'asos shalot k'derech menakim. Okay, meaning you're going to have to do something that's not normally the way of cleaning. How do you clean a toilet? With a brush. How do you clean a sink? With a sponge. You don't clean a sink with a plunger. Therefore, the Nisa Megamra, and if it's totally stopped up, Shehu Tikkun Mamish, that's complete fixing, Ashiyash Pesach, Yesh Lesor Legamre. Ouch. Then it would be totally prohibited. Meaning, if it's something is totally stopped up, then I think that would be prohibited. Ach im yesh tzorech gadol, yesh lahatir al yedei nachri. It says, but if you really needed a great need, then you would, it would be permitted by a non-Jew.
The only way to tell that it's really stopped up is if a plunger doesn't work. If the plunger works, it isn't that stuffed up.
No, the only way to tell if it isn't stuffed up... Flush that toilet.
And does
it go down
the
exactly.
The plunger clears.
What?
The plunger clears.
But there's always that first. There's always the first flush. Okay. Well, let's keep this as clean as we can. There's always that first flush. So you know, right? Okay. Oh God, I got a problem. Then there's that waiting. Stop rising. Okay. Right. This is just so we got one of our commodes is one of these less water ones, the more they're heavy. So it works well, and thank God I think it doesn't totally fill the toilet. So we've saved a lot of problematic issues in that way, just so you should know. And it saves water. So now you know it's stuffed up. How do you know if it's totally stuffed or not totally stuffed? Very easy. Does the water go down, or does the water stay closed? Stay up. Okay? So can you... We'll go down slowly. So can you use the plunger? What would it sound like from Rav Moshe Feinstein?
No.
He doesn't really answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is that... He doesn't answer the question. And what I would say is that some things normally...
He says, one second, if it's the Nistam Legamre...
It's totally clogged.
Totally clogged. So Tikkun Mamish... That's tikkun mamas, he says. That's fixing. Ka'ashiyas Pesach. Like making a new hole. Yesh le'esor legamre. Okay, what are we talking about the Rabbanans? Sounds like Ashiyas Pesach means creating a new hole. Sounds like we're talking about the Oraisas, serious ones. Ach in yesh tzorech gadol. What would you say in case of tzorech gadol, great need be?
Only
toilet. Only toilet house. That would be...
First of all, some things, it's the nature of the thing that becomes clogged, and it's a regular thing. Every couple of months you plunge them because they become clogged. So this is cleaning. Number two.
Well, what Moshe would argue is that if it becomes totally clogged.
Okay, well, I mean, as Steve said, probably everyone...
The sink, when would a sink get totally clogged? If you put something down there that really didn't belong. Right? That's when it gets totally clogged. There's two types of clogs. The progressive getting worse clog, and then the sudden clog.
Yeah.
Okay, for whatever. In the sink. Yeah. In the sink.
Let's think about what Steve Lurch said. I think what he said has to be considered further. If it works, then it wasn't totally clogged. If it didn't work,
yes,
then you didn't do anything.
What do you mean, if it didn't work?
If it didn't work, then you didn't violate...
Well, if it worked, let's say, you can't say that if it worked. If the plunger is a tool,
right,
and if it worked, then I was violating the Issa D'Oraisa.
No.
Sure, but you can't say it wasn't totally clogged. It was totally clogged, and I unclogged it.
As you said, the plunger is not going to clear the sack out. It's not going to.
It sure will. It turns out it's a good plunger or not.
No, I don't think so.
Snakes clear out sucks.
So then in other words, if you have
a... Okay, let's use a good example.
If it doesn't...
Your grandson, or your son, right? Your beautiful son, you know, he's first learning how to use the toilet, and of course, he uses the number one, and then thinks he has to use all of the toilet paper in the room. Okay, he just takes it and pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls. Okay, is that it's totally clogged?
No.
It's not totally clogged. We're not into semantics. We're okay.
But, yes.
Can we conclusively agree that our Moshe Feinstein said that it's totally clogged and you can't fix it?
If it's totally
Can we agree
clogged,
on that?
Yes.
Fine. Good.
If it's totally clogged and you unsuccessfully go at it with a plunger,
yes.
What's forbidden? You didn't do anything.
Okay. And,
you didn't
and
fix it.
Right.
So,
totally clogged means the water is not going down.
Correct.
That's the definition.
Correct.
So, what if and you, then you didn't do anything?
Your effort was a vain, pointless act that didn't account.
Good.
For
and what if you did clear the drain?
Then it wasn't totally clogged.
No, but I'm saying to you, totally clogged. The definition is water is not going down. No water is going down.
Oh, that happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
But if one little plunger won't work,
your plunger wouldn't clear.
David, do you understand what I'm saying? You might not like it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're
Good.
Saying.
Good. Let's move on. Okay. Page 3. Page 3. Well, maybe this is the bottom line.
Only on page 3.
Only on page 3.
What about something like Drano? What about something like Drano?
No, for sure you couldn't do it. The Drano, yeah.
Does that flow through?
Does it flow through? It's a right, colossus. Nistar to your Hamayim. 8. Source number 8. Let's say the sink became clogged. Mutter l'nakoso, this is Smir Shabbos, Mutter l'nakoso be'ezras mas'eves gumi be'titi. You're allowed to use, this is what he says, you're allowed to use a mas'eves gumi, a plunger be'tit. A home plunger, v'lo shel uman.
Not a
professional plunger.
What's an unprofessional plunger?
There you go.
Really, you think so?
Wait,
I don't know.
Kishyesh tzorech gadol b'kach, when there is a great need. So already, by the way, when you see the words kishyesh
tzorech,
this is the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas of Rabbi Neuwirth, and Rabbi Neuwirth is always quoting from Avshalom Zalman Orbach. Avshalom Zalman Orbach is no longer alive. He was the foremost posek during his time, very, very recently, up to a few years ago. Okay?
In the U.S.
In Israel. In Israel. Okay? Kishyesh tzorech gadol b'kach, when there's a great need. So as soon as you see when there's a great need, so you already know it's not totally mutter. There are problems. So I want to know, what are the problems? Okay? So he says, look at, I brought you the footnote, because the footnote is worthwhile and important to be aware of. Oh, I see. Okay. He says, Ayin Shimon Shin Lamed Vav Sheif Tes. Look at Shimon Shin Lamed Vav Sheif Tes. Did we see Shimon Lamed Vav Sheif Tes? We did. It was source number 5. It was our case of the gutter. Umashma De'eno Mutar Ela Kila Achayat. The Shulchan Aruch implied that it was not permitted to be done in a normal way. It was only permitted to be done Kila Achayat with your foot. Now, do me a favor, nobody stick their foot down the toilet. It's not going to do anything, and you have other problems. Okay. Break it. Do me a favor. Never entered your mind. Good. Someone's going to create the Shabbos plunger. It'll be worn by the foot. It'll be sold in Borsteins and Spitzers and online.
The Shabbos mode toilet.
The Shabbos mode toilet, right? Okay. Okay. He says, you know what I think though? The Yesh Lomar, I think the Stimat Kior, a clogged sink, Domeh LeBakbuk SheNistam Tzavaro. It's like a bottle whose neck got clogged. The Nishtader SheMutar LeHotzi Et HaStimah. Unless you have a bottle, and the bottle has, you know, it has orange juice with pulp. Okay? And you're pouring it out, and the pulp got stuck. Yeah, it's a good orange juice. Or, you have a baby bottle, right? And you give the kid orange juice. So can you unclog that? Yeah. The answer is yeah. Im ha'bakbuk mechubar lakarka. He says, even if the bottle is attached to the ground, you'll be able to do that. Okay? I'm going to skip a lot. Okay? Okay. Ukamo. See where it says line 10 at the end of the line? Ukamo. Because he brought another proof that I don't want to get into. Ukamo shemutar lahochi biyadayim klipot v'atsamot shesosmim piyatsabar selkiyor. Let's say this happens all the time. You're washing dishes on Friday night, and the sink becomes clogged. Right? The sink is not clogged. Rather, there's always friction out though. But, you know, in the inside workings of your sink, there's a garbage disposal. The garbage disposal has holes on the side, right? And the bones or the sewage that you got in there, they stopped up the hole. So you're allowed to clear that. That's like you said, the grate. So he says you're certainly allowed to clear that because you're just removing the impediment. You're removing the stuff that's blocking the thing from entering into the drain. You're not fixing the drain in that situation. Okay? You put your hand in. You don't put your hand in?
You put your foot in.
Okay. Oh, litcho bitocho davar dak, or to put something in there, kedei lahori datashima, to get rid of the clog. Kach gam mutar b'mas eva b'titridina. He says that also. I think that it would be permitted to use a home plunger. Ukiyadua. Shekior shatum eshal liftoach pam al yedei zerem chazak shamayim. If it's clogged, sometimes if you have a strong enough flow of water, you can unclog it. Upam al yedei hamasheva, and sometimes with the plunger. V'lachein nira de'ein zem nikra b'shem tikun. So I don't think that would be considered fixing. V'gam etzatzino rot mechubarin akarka nani shaminan, and even if it's attached the pipes to the ground, it's also permitted. He says, what about Be'ahudit Chino Sha'alubo Kiskisin? What about our gutter? Remember our gutter that we said was Aser? How can I say that the plunger is Mutter if he said the gutter was Aser? Line 15. Mikevan Shiharis Chashiv Le Isser Torah. The Riff, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi said that unclogging your gutter was Aser di Oraisa. Torah prohibition. So, Lomar, I have to say, Delomari B'chino Hayorid Min Hagag Lamata. It's not talking about a gutter that goes from the roof down. Rather, it's a ground gutter that's on the roof. Or a cold pine in the chiyai gavna. In a certain case, he says what it must be is that the gutter was inside the roof itself, and that when it became clogged, it's like the whole roof was smooth now. And then when you made the hole, what you were doing is you were creating a hole in the roof. Does that sound likely? Does that sound like what the Riff was talking about? Does that sound like what the Riff was talking about? Not really. He says, how do I get out of the problem that what I just told you to do, the Riff said, was also midaraisa? Well, I have to tell you, what the Riff was talking about was this other case. Does it sound like the Riff was talking about that? No, not really. Okay. What can I tell you? So we're at the underline. Okay. Ah, but this is where it gets interesting. This is why you have to read the footnotes. Usually, I give you the footnotes for kulas, right? Today, it's not so good. Okay. Ah, but mikevan she'en hadvarim kol kach brurim, since these things are not so clear. V'gam efshar di'esh b'zem mishum uvda d'chol. Uvda d'chol means there are certain behaviors or activities that are prohibited because they're weekday activities. Okay. L'chein ein lahakel. A person should not be lenient. Af the mash eva beitit, even with a hand plunger, ela b'shash hadchak ubamakom tzorech gadol. So when can you be lenient in a difficult, in a pressure situation where there's a great need? Kol ze shemati miagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach shlita. Okay. So therefore, can you use a plunger? He says mutter on the top. But he says, you know, you should just know that the Riff said that it might be Asa Midaraisa. Oops. Sorry. So therefore, if it's a case of great need, so how would we define the case of great need? Only bathroom in the house. Right. That would be a case of great need. Only sink in the house.
Well, the first night of Yom Kippur, and was sink in the kitchen, was completely quiet.
That would be a case of great need. Agreed. That would be a case of great need. Okay? Another option would be to have a non-Jew come to do it
from experience.
Okay. Okay. What? Have a non-Jew do it for you. That's another option because that would be a case of great need. Also, you're adding on leniencies, but it doesn't seem so clear that you wouldn't be permitted to plunge the toilet under regular circumstances on a regular Shabbos. Because thankfully we all live, most of us, live in, you know, 2-bedroom homes, 3-bedroom homes, 1.5 baths, 2.5 baths, more than one toilet. So what's the great need?
Depends how many in the family.
Use the other one. Take turns. Get online.
And it's
Case more. Now you'll understand. I needed to show you to understand what Rabbi Rubio would be talking about. Clearing drains. Repairing a severely clogged drain could be prohibited under the principle of Mosif al Habinyan. Adding accessories to a land-based structure because the severe blockage completely eliminates the function of the drain. I.e., if the water ain't going down, it isn't a drain. Removing the blockage is tantamount to repairing or even creating a new drain. Okay? Examples. Outdoor porches are often built with holes at the corners that serve as rainwater drains. Twigs, leaves, and other debris will soften and accumulate with the passage of time and constrict these drains. One of the drains became solidly plugged with dirt and leaves. Cleaning them out with tools is bonet midoraisa. Cleaning out gutter or lead pipes that became solidly clogged with dirt leaves is bonet midoraisa. Regarding plunging a sink, see below. Unless see below. G. Plunging a toilet or sink on Shabbos. The question over whether it is permitted to plunge a clogged sink or toilet on Shabbos is a subject of controversy among contemporary halachic authorities. According to some poskim, a toilet that became blocked may be unplugged with a common house plunger. Similarly, a kitchen sink may be unplugged in the same manner. Other poskim question this lenient ruling, and some reject it entirely. Some, they're not talking about people you never heard of. We'll see in a second. Arguments for lenient ruling on plunging a toilet or sink. The reasons for permitting a toilet or sink to be plunged on Shabbos can be explained as follows. 1. This is typical of regular use. 2. The blockage is only superficial. 3. It is easily rectified, or there are partial blockages. 1. The drain blockage in the toilet and sink are rather common occurrences that are easily corrected without special skills. Because these occasional problems are typical of their ordinary operation and use, the toilet in the, or sink is not seen as being broken or dysfunctional during that time, but is merely temporarily obstructed from use. It is similar to washing a dish or glass that became dirty. Who says this? Lachom Zalman Orbach said that's exactly what he said. This lenient ruling could be further explained by way of analogy to the bottle of a thick condiment, fitted with a narrow spout on a cap that becomes blocked from time to time. Anybody got him want to guess where he got this from? He got it from the footnote in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. That's where he saw it from. If the hole in the spout of a squeeze bottle becomes constricted or clogged, it may be claimed to allow the contents to pass through. Cleaning the spout of such dispensers would not be regarded as an act of repairing the spout or fashioning a new opening, because this sort of blockage is typical of their ordinary use and is therefore part of their regular function. The bottle spout was thus never in a broken state. Occasional blockages are similarly typical of toilet fixtures and do not render the toilet in its true state of disrepair. 2. The blockage is merely superficial. It could also be argued in most cases the blockage on the toilet is merely temporary stoppage caused by an external obstruction, e.g. a packet of tissues flushed down by a child. That you'd have to use your imagination. This happened to, I think, every single one of us. Okay. It should therefore not be regarded as a breakdown of the appliance. For example, an inverted copper plate placed over a sink drain will effectively block the drainage and prevent water from going down. Yet, it is permitted to remove the plate or cup because one could not define this situation as a breakage in the drain, but merely as an outside hindrance to the drainage. In this sense, the blockage might be comparable to a large obstruction in a door preventing passage through the door. The door is not seen as broken, but merely blocked from use. It follows that removal of the obstruction is obviously not an act of reconstructing or repairing the doorway. Some folks can point out that unplugging the toilet may be permitted because the stoppage is usually not the result of severe blockage, as in the case of gutter pipes. Even a minor constriction in the toilet or sink pipes is sufficient to prevent water from draining. The fact that the blockage is easily cleared is an indication that the drain never lost its function, even in its clogged state. Clearing it is therefore not bona. I didn't say you're wrong. I just showed you our most advanced game. Okay. G2. We'll skip that one now. Limitations and distinctions in the lenient ruling. It is important to note that the lenient ruling on this matter applies only to common drain problems. A severe drain blockage that requires fixing assistance, professional assistance, or a great deal of effort to correct, would indeed be regarded as fixing and would therefore be prohibited on Shabbos. I think that even according to the people who are lenient, if you are plugging away at the toilet and you're not getting anywhere, you should probably stop.
Right.
You understand? It's not that it's okay to do this act.
Going back to my question. Because
yeah.
When I know when my toilet, when my sink, let's say, backs up, that normally, in order for me to fix it, I have to take the drain, the trap,
right,
up, which means I have to have tools, and then I have to put a snake in the way it's going up.
Right.
That you would say is professional.
Now, look what he says. Very good. Eddie, read on. It should also be pointed out that there is basis to distinguish halachically between a clogged sink drain versus a clogged toilet drain. Whereas the blockage of a toilet drain is ordinarily a sudden occurrence resulting from an object that became caught in the drain, a sink drain is usually the result of gradual buildup of food particles and other debris that collect in the drain trap over an extended period of time. A blockage that accumulates over a long period of time might not be regarded as a typical occurrence that is part of the drain's function, but rather as a state of disrepair. That's what you were saying. That in a sink, usually, it's over time, and it builds up, and it's a pain in the neck, and you have to fix it. Whereas a toilet, it's not over time, it's sudden.
Also,
yeah.
But you can get a toilet, it's just like they have snakes for a regular drain.
Yeah.
You have a jade that you just put in, and it's twisted, and you can pull out the rag or whatever it's in the toilet, it keeps dropping.
Then you got a tool. That's for sure you couldn't do.
Well,
that's a tool.
If you use a plunger, it's not the same. I mean, I have two tools that I can use to unplug that toilet.
A plunger?
Yeah.
Or the J. The J is a professional tool. Mm-hmm. The plunger is for everybody in the house.
The view of this stringent ruling, as mentioned above, G3, as mentioned above, some posts can question the veracity of the lenient opinions. They argue that the blockage of a toilet or sink represents a state of disrepair that is not substantially different from the clogged drains cited in the Talmud as example of boneh and prohibit plunging on Shabbos. Remember, the Gemara brought you an example. This is a Gemara. The Gemara talks about an example of a clogged drain on a roof. And you wanted to push it down with your foot. So with your foot, in private, you were permitted to do. But with a tool, with an implement, the Gemara did not say you can use a stick to push it down. The Gemara said you could use your foot. So the Gemara, you can't ignore that Gemara. You have to ask yourself, is that Gemara something more serious? The Gemara said. Okay, unusual. Fine. Halachic conclusion. Although there is merit to the arguments for permitting plunging of a toilet or sink, it must be conceded that the shaila here is of a serious nature. You're not talking about maybe it's a drabanan and a chumrah. What's the maybe? Maybe it's a... What's the possibility? Maybe it's a deal, right? And cannot easily be resolved based on the theoretical abstract logic. One is therefore best advised not to rely on the lenient view if other facilities are available. However, a non-Jew may be asked to plunge a sink or toilet if there is a severe shortage of facilities. If there are no other facilities and no non-Jew is available, one may plunge a toilet himself. However, only a common house plunger and not a professional tool should be used. A snake may also not be used, even if it is manual. A liquid cleaner may not be used on Shabbos or Yom Tov to unclog the drain sink. I think that it's a kind of tool, really. That's really what the plumber will try to use first. He has especially caustic stuff. Who also disagrees? If you look on, and you can look at it, page 6. This is from the Sukkah Yabia Omer. You know who wrote Yabia Omer? Yabia Omer was written by Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef takes the absolute strict view. And he thinks, based on the Gemara, and Ksuva said it's D'oraisa, that this is an issue D'oraisa. And then he turns to, we're not going to read it because it's very involved, but then he turns to the comments of the Shneur Shalas Kehilchasa, and he says, I really don't understand it. I don't understand how you could say that the case that the Rif was talking about was some other case where it's like on the roof, that's clearly not what it's talking about. So how does he say, therefore, that it'll be permitted? Okay? Skip to line 80. You can look at line 80. I'll just read you the conclusion. Mashkana divina. Baha nachtinu de baha salkinan that you come out with. Sha'aso liftoach ebeshadesh eshakiyor shenistam aideh masevas gumi. You're not allowed to use a plunger. To have you lay mitakeh mana. You're fixing something. V'yeshu zechshash isa skila. Right? Then there's a prior that you're potentially violating an isur skila. Ulam, but Nira Shim Lo Nista Makio Lagambe says, I think though if it's not completely stopped, V'amayim over betocho la'at la'at, and the water goes down a little. V'ayyidei l'chitzasho b'mashev v'gumi pa'am u'shtayim, and if he plunges once or twice, go in shamayim yizimu betocho b'open takin yoter, and then it'll help it. Yesh v'hatzer b'zeh. You could do that. Kol she'osha came to mashevet gumi beitik, as long as you're using a house plunger. Oh, the enkan maisa uman, it's not a professional thing. So you say, yeah, the water's going down a little, then you can help it along once or twice.
How is he coming to a different conclusion? He just comes from a, isn't that what everybody else is saying?
No, he's saying prohibited. He's saying if it's stopped up totally, it's absolutely prohibited. Okay? V'dibarti b'zeh in yedidenu Rav Agon Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashir Shlita. I talked to Rav Yashir about this. V'hiskim l'dvarenu l'asor v'liftoach shima sakira ayedem ha-shev ha-gumi. Says, and I, people, and he agreed with me, Rabbi Yashiv, sorry, Rabbi Avad Yosef, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yashiv, only Rav Shlomo Zalman allowed it under duress, in extreme circumstances. So may Allah know Yishkon Betach, if anyone wants to listen, he'll listen. I wrote what I thought. Amen. And God should enlighten us with the Holy Torah.
The total stoppage.
Yes.
The total stoppage is not going, the plunger doesn't help. It's not going down a lot.
He said once or twice. That's what he said. He said if it's going down a little bit, if the water's going down, then once or
whenever
twice.
Whenever the plunger will help, it's going down a little bit.
I didn't know. You're making clues that I didn't hear. So what's the difference between a house plunger and a professional plunger?
I have both. Oh. Which I have both. This is your standard house plunger.
No, that's your standard house plunger.
This is Harvey's power plunger.
Yeah. Now that everybody goes to Home Depot and we all think that we're professionals.
No.
Right?
I
think the conclusion is, listen, the conclusion is, if you have another facility, I think that you should leave it. I really do. And wait till after Shabbos. If there's a case of great need, you have a zillion people, and you really feel there's a great need, you could try it once or twice.
Between using a stick and using a plunger. Stick is actually putting a hole through. A plunger is forcing air through.
Okay.
It's forcing air through it.
I understand all that. All that being said, just understand that these are what the poskim write, and the person should be aware of it. You know, you should be aware of it and do what's appropriate. And we can live with two baths instead of three baths till the end of Shabbos usually, and nobody gets hurt. All right, have a good week.